Good morning. How are you, sir? Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Yes. How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
Oh, that's pretty good. I'm so glad that we're able to make this connection.
Yes?
Bit of a delay in hearing and speaking, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we've got a lovely, beautiful day here in Wales, and I live in the Snowdonia National Park, and the sun is shining here, so we've got beautiful weather for today's talk.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Here in the capital city of the United States, it's hot and muggy again once more today, I'll tell you. It's been a heat wave here. You all have had floods, and I think we've had heat waves. But
it's quite warm here, too.
But, at any rate, it's lovely to talk to you. We had a good brief conversation the other day, so I did learn about you. I was a little disappointed I couldn't get more information out, but I think I got enough that we can have an intelligent conversation and interview here. Let me introduce you to my audience, if I may. I'm Phyllis Pricer, the hostess of The Higher Dimensions, and for my audience, I have here a very wonderful person, a gentleman called George Lockett. George lives in Wales in the United Kingdom, and he is a healer and a medium or channeler. He has yoga background, and he's written a book called Journey into the Self, and he also has some CDs out for meditation. I wanted to let my audience know that this is not a live broadcast. We are pre-recording this broadcast to put on the show The Higher Dimensions tonight, which is why our conversation is a little bit different today. So if you want to ask any questions or contact George after the show, feel free to contact BBS Radio and me at The Higher Dimensions, or you can contact George directly at, can I give him your website?
Yes.
Okay, it's www.healer, that's H-E-A-L-E-R, George, G-E-O-R-G-E, .com. And welcome to The Higher Dimensions.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, I did get to, besides our conversations together, as you know, I like to talk to people and get a good feel for them before interviewing them. You have quite a long background. You've come by way of tried and true paths to where you are today as a spiritual healer. And could you tell our audience a little bit about your background and how you came to arrive at your current destination on your spiritual path?
Yes, indeed. I started my spiritual journey about 33 years ago when I went out to live in Switzerland for 5 years. I went there to study under Maharishi Mahesh Yogi at the time, who was teaching transcendental meditation. He became famous for teaching the Beatles transcendental meditation back in the late 60s, And I went to study under him, and I stayed there for 5 years, and I was mainly practicing yoga and meditation about 6 hours a day, and it really allowed me time to look within myself and try and understand what and who I am within this human body.
Uh-huh.
And some of the realizations I came to during that period was that I'm not actually my physical body. I'm something much more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like a spiritual angel, if you like, that looks through this body, and that my own nature is actually eternal. And that realization has totally changed the way I see the world, because the realization that you are part of the whole universe, and
mm-hmm.
and the whole universe is reflected through you is quite a realization to come to, but what I found since I realized it is that you get something called nature support, in that all your thought, words, and deeds, because you've allowed your consciousness become in tune with the universe and and become one with your own source energy, that your each thought that comes in your mind, each word you speak, each action you take is supported by the whole universe, and that's is a real privilege to have that happening in your life. It, you get this thing called nature support, where what you desire you find just showing up in your space automatically as you you choose to experience that. And anyway, more recently I've been I had a farm in the Snowdonia National Park here in Wales, and I used to keep sheep on the farm. Unfortunately, in 2001, we were restricted under the foot and mouth crisis that was taking place at that time. And because of the high cost of keeping the animals in the fields they were in at the time at the start of the outbreak, we ended up selling the farm. And since that time, I've devoted all my time to doing healing work. And the way I do the healing work has been mainly at Mind Body Spirit Fairs. I travel around the whole of the UK and very much now internationally, where I do hands-on healing on people. And I also do a lot of distant healing off my website. So if anyone feels they need healing, they could go to the website, which is www.healergeorge.com, and on the homepage there they can request healing.
And you had so kindly offered to do some healing work for my dog Pen, Toby, who is, well, right now he has mouth cancer and he's rather ill. I think he's on this downward spiral, but I've had him longer than the vet would have thought. And at any rate, I do appreciate your thoughts on that and your prayers. He's a loving boy, and, you know, he's been a blessing to me. But the animals are something that you said you were led into to do healing meditations, not only for humans, but for animals. Is that correct? And that you've... also had contact with the healing divas.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Coming to your dog first, I did make contact with Toby.
Oh.
And I did tune into his energies, as you suggested I try. And to a certain extent, I got mixed messages. on the one hand, I was getting messages that it's his time to leave.
Right.
And that and that I should give you the message to have great compassion and great love for him or her, and just to, if you like, give them the freedom to steer their own course in life, and if it is their time to leave, then just honor that and respect that their wish to leave at this time. I'm not saying they are going to leave immediately. All I'm saying is I was getting this mixed message.
Right.
That Toby's own view was that he's ready to move on
his
spiritual journey.
Yes.
But at the same time, yeah, I was sending healing to him and helping that way.
Okay, so he is ready to move on.
Well, that was the main message I was getting from him.
Yes.
I don't know how you feel about that yourself.
Well, I don't hold anyone or anything back. When it's time to go, it's time to release. I just don't want him suffering.
No, indeed. So as I said, I did send healing to him, and I'll carry on doing it for the next week or two. And we'll see if we can pull him through this. But if not, then my own view is that it's just to have great compassion for his own desire, which came through very clearly to me that it's his time to move on.
Yeah, he's very close. I know that. But and I'm hoping that he gives me the definite time when he wishes to go, because I won't hold him any longer than he needs to be here. Or wants us or chooses to be here. He's such a good puppy dog. And I thank you so much. At any rate, I did also get to read one of your articles. that yes. I was able to get download from the internet. And you talk in it with something that you don't know much about me, but you know, you talk about success in business and how to apply the spiritual principles in,
yeah.
in doing business and in visualization. And I think that's absolutely fascinating. I own my own business for a number of years, and it was a healthcare business, you know, traditional, and did staffing and did a fabulous job, if I do say so myself, in the correctional institutions and made life better for those who were behind bars. And there are principles pretty much that I had considered very important, but I'd like you to share with people, because it's always good to know again how much our thoughts impact our everyday life, and that what we think and what we dwell upon is what we create and what we live. And I was also the president of the National Association of Women Business Owners, Capillaria Chapter, and so I'm very much for entrepreneurs and building and using your spiritual life, your integrated body, mind, and spirit to create a business and a life support, a group for yourself in the financial world. So please, you know, would you talk to us about that?
Yes, indeed, I would love to. I think the most important thing about being in business, especially if you are an entrepreneur, is to create a business that you enjoy doing.
Yes.
The reason why I say that is that the universe uses the experience of joy and bliss to show you the things that are most life supporting, both for yourself and for the community that you live in.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important when you're choosing to start a business is to look within yourself very deeply and look to the dreams and aspirations that are deep in your heart,
mm-hmm.
and your own skill set, and choose something to do that you've got great passion for, you've got a great desire to move forward. But the reason why I'm using these words of passion and desire
mm-hmm.
and enjoyment is that this is something you're going to do perhaps for the next 5 or 10 years of your life. And
right.
It really does make sense to choose the business that you enjoy doing. It's
absolutely.
It's very hard work to be in a business you're not enjoying. And,
I know that.
And also, when you've got these experiences of pleasure and joy coming in from your work activity,
right.
you tend to put in more hours. You tend to really open your heart to that type of business and really focus down on it because it brings you great joy and pleasure. And this is some of the secrets of creating abundance, is that when you are coming from this area of pleasure and joy, that abundance also flows in your life. And it doesn't matter really that what you want to do isn't out there already. You know, if your desire is to create a business that is fairly unique to yourself,
right. mm-hmm.
Which isn't mainstream, then I would still say go ahead and do it, because the important thing to do is to create the diversity in business. And the only way we can have diversity is if people honor their own internal dreams, their own
exactly.
aspirations. You know, if we all choose to use the same business model and run business in the same way because it's a proven way of earning money, then
mm-hmm.
then in a way that's, you know, if money is your goal, then
mm-hmm.
then that's one thing you can work towards. But my own experience of abundance is much more than just creating financial
right.
money. It is to enrich your own life and to bring these feelings of pleasure and joy
mm-hmm.
Into your life as well. And so I would really focus on honoring your own dreams, your own aspirations when choosing to create your business. And there's like three stages to creating
mm-hmm.
business, which is, if you like, using your imagination and
mm-hmm.
your passion and your desires to create, if you like, the business plan.
Mm-hmm.
The business plan is something that's very, very useful. It allows you then to go, you know, if you need finance at all, to fund your business, that then you've created this document that you can take to financial institutions and get backing for your business. And really that brings you on to the second stage, which is the word, which is discussing your idea with other people around you and sharing that idea and drawing on their energy and expertise as well as your own. And by this interaction of communicating on the level of word, we gain more knowledge, we gain more experience, we draw in more resources, and most of all, we set up our own vibration, because it's the way our body is internally vibrating that draws the resources to you. And then once you've got your business plan in place, once you've decided where you're going to run the business from and the finance you need, then you actually start bringing that business into concrete reality. You actually start to move from the idea, move from the words into physically creating the product or the service that you want to offer to other people. The beauty of it is that if you're coming from the joy within yourself, if you're coming from this field of bliss, people around you pick up on that, and you're very inspiring when you talk to other people. So it's very easy to create customers for your business where when you really believe in what you're doing yourself and you've got your whole heart focused on that activity.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, therefore, I would say honor your own internal dreams and don't worry about being unique in your business and creating something that's never been created before, because the world needs this diversity. If everything's the same, we can't know anything. It's only through the diversity, the color, the cultures, and everything in the world that we live such rich and abundant lives.
I have run into some situations, not only in my own life, but in others, where they have started a business, and it's something they love doing, and all of that is in place, but all of a sudden, there's a shift, there's a change, and everything that you were doing just suddenly just turns around, and it goes south, no matter what you do, and it's as though the door is shut for you to go in that direction and you're being forced. What happens when you run into the situation where it seems, in spite of following such concepts as you've outlined, which I wholeheartedly agree with, but that you are not permitted, it seems, by the universe, that every door you open in that particular endeavor gets slammed shut in your face, so that you are forced to leave that particular endeavor, which you may have had for a number of years and done well in and had accolades in, and you're being forced to do something else. What is it? This is what I've had people come to me with such anguish, because what they have done and what they have become successful in suddenly turns to dust and ashes in their hands, and it's nothing that they have done. They've not created, they've not changed their desires or anything else, but it's just as though the universe says, enough already, now it's time to do something else, you know, and they get kicked. Can you explain something like that? What would that be for someone, or what can someone do to help deal with a change that is forced upon you?
Indeed. Well, as I say, I've had experiences of that exact situation happening in my life where I would say I got the triple whammy, which was that after 10 years of being a farmer and really loving it in the Snowdonia National Park here, just working with the animals and nature, foot and mouth came along and I didn't have enough finances to continue. And so like 20 years of worth of assets were just stripped from me in a day because the farm was auctioned off by public auction, so everything in the day went under the hammer and was sold off, and then the following week my wife chose to leave me, and then the money I actually got paid for the farm was then stolen off me by a firm of financial consultants, and so I lost all my assets, I lost all my money, and I lost all my emotional ties as well. And
so,
you faced
this grand slam, as I call it.
Indeed. Well, what I have noticed myself is that for the first few weeks, you could choose to make that quite painful for yourself by resisting what's happening, and which is what I actually did myself. I kept asking why, and all obvious questions that one would ask oneself, but then when I became very accepting of the situation and then started to look within myself for dreams that I hadn't fulfilled and skills that I had that were of service to people around me, I had a complete career change, and now I'm very, very successful as an energy healer, and I wouldn't actually be doing this energy healing now. I would still be looking after animals unless the universe gave me that big push that was necessary to get me to leave the farm. So, from my own experience, if you just allow the process to take place and just honor the fact that you are supported anyway, whether you continue that business or whether you change to a new business, so the universe will support you. It's like being.
So we're talking issues of trust here. Trusting the universe.
I was going to use the analogy of a boat, sailing on a lake, and that you can force yourself to go in one direction, but if that's against the wind that's blowing the opposite way, life becomes very hard work. Whereas if you just relax and go with the flow, the universe will actually blow you in a new direction and give a new direction to your life. If you do just relax and become accepting, the boat still floats on the water, as it were. As I say, you are supported by the universe, but life becomes easier if you're going with the flow instead of against it.
Okay, so when things become easy, that's when you know you're in the right space. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, well, very much so. If you find you're bashing your head against the wall, then perhaps you might want to just relax and think why you're persisting to want to go in that direction. Whereas if you just relax and take a few days or weeks just to be yourself, then after you've done that for a week or two, new inspiration comes into your mind and your heart, and you realize that there is actually something better waiting for you there if you just open up to that possibility.
Yeah, it can be very scary because some people can go for quite a while. I know a couple of people who've at least in their mind, okay, now whether or not this is true or not, but have released and have, said to Spirit, please let me, guide me, direct me in the way that would have me go. I am open to whatever, you want me to do. And no answer seems to come. It seems to be the same old with everything they touch just doesn't seem to work out. And their situation becomes very, 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 very scary. And, of course, then we have panic time, okay? Then we have fear set in. Then we have that old circle of fear and lack of trust. But some people who are very earnest people, who have this and they can't seem to change or the changes are not coming and they run against brick walls. And yet, I will have to say this, they are learning a great deal of spirituality while they're in this spiral because they are forced to rely more and more on the spirit as the physical material world is not manifesting.
Right. Well, what I would say to your question is really the importance of relying on yourself and your own inner guidance, because what my own experience was is that when I was losing everything that the the predators come around and they all, you know, come to offer advice, but they all want paying for their advice, and quite often the advice they give it isn't for your benefit, it's purely for their benefit, and I really feel it's important to look within yourself, look to your own heart energy for your own inner guidance, and as you do that, you that whole process which you can do through the practice of meditation, you know, if you go on my website, you know, www.healergeorge.com, and go on the meditation CD page and go from there to the MP3 file page. There's about 10 different downloadable guided meditations there that can really help you to recenter your energies within yourself and help you guide yourself to knowing exactly what your life's purpose is and the new direction you want to move into.
That's wonderful. As I said, you know, the ones that I know of are very, very good people, and yet it seems as though, you know, no matter what they try, and this is so discouraging, of course. This is so discouraging. But, you know, I will, again, you can give that meditation website, and again, you can contact BBS Radio, or you can go directly to Mr. Lockett's website for meditations, and I believe, I'll mention this also, that you also have meditation CDs for sale or something that people can not only go on the internet but can actually own one of the...
Yes, okay.
I don't like to try and trumpet too much people's... although all publicity is good, you know, but we're here to help other people and to serve others. What is the way that you see? What is your path? What is your what is Spirit directing you to do as far as your life is concerned? Is this your life's path for the rest of your life? Do you have something else that you feel you're being directed to as time goes on?
Right. Well, in the last year or so, I've had a year out from actually doing the hands-on healing, and I was guided to write the book, which was, as you mentioned earlier, was called The Journey into the Self, the Multidimensional Nature of Being Human, and that's available on Amazon.com. As well as that, I've also been guided to help Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote the series of books called A Conversation with God. I mean, Neil's own life was one of finding himself on the street, you know, having to pick up cans to earn a living, and then he was guided to write the series of books called A Conversation with God
that totally changed
his life. And about 2 years ago or 3 years ago, Neil set up an organization called Humanities Team. And for the last 2 years, I've been focusing half on my own work, my own Healer George work, and I've been focusing half on the work of Humanities Team. And what Humanities Team is doing is bringing out the message that we're all one.
Yes.
And as soon as you realize that we are all connected to each other, that we are actually all part of each other,
absolutely,
it totally changes your whole outlook on life, your whole concept of business, because a lot of business practices are all about ripping each other off. Where if you realize that we're all one, we're all part of the same universal life force.
Absolutely.
And that's flowing through each of us. Then your whole perspective on life shifts.
And then
if you look upon that like on a global level, in the West, like America and the UK and countries like that, we're actually quite rich and affluent in comparison to the third world countries like Africa and parts of South America, but at the same time, the whole planet is one, and
yes.
and it doesn't really make sense for 3% of the population to own 98% of the wealth in the world. It's important that through this concept of oneness, we realize the importance of sharing what we've got with other people. Because if everyone, overnight changed their outlook from trying to take more from everyone around them to mm-hmm. giving more away, for instance, in a relationship, people come together to take from each other, very, very soon there's nothing left. But if two people come together to give to each other and they give their love to each other, then they create something greater than the two people. They create absolute abundance in their own relationship. Uh-huh. And the same can happen in the world. If all the people of the world choose to change their perspective from taking from each other to a perspective of giving to each other, then overnight the world will change. And also, if we're coming from oneness, then the whole scenario is about waging wars on different mm-hmm. countries. That doesn't really make sense anymore, because
you're waging war on yourself, in essence. You
tend to realize that you're still hurting yourself by doing that. They're still an aspect of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to make a comment? Sorry.
Oh, well, I'd like to make a comment. Well, I was going to say I absolutely agree. There was one time years ago that I had an awakening, a revelation, a vision, if you will. And in that one, and this was back in the 70s, I understood that all children were my children. All people were my people. And so I don't see the difference, if that makes sense. I couldn't differentiate between, and I don't mean this in an odd way, but when I spoke to my children, it was though I spoke to all children, and I did not treat my children differently than I did children who came and visited my home. And my kids never quite understood that, because when children came in my home, as far as I was concerned, they were mine, and I was there too. They were there for me to protect and love and cherish and take care of. And my kids never got that, which is a sad thing to say. They never did. They used to just think that I preferred their friends over them, which wasn't true. But since that time, I cannot look at another race and not think that they are a part of me, and that we are all one. And it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. You're absolutely right. Your life does change. You can't look at things the same way. And your whole thought processes change. You cannot be the same once this happens. It is impossible, I think, for there not to be a response.
The way I would choose to suggest that to you is to look at the cells within your own body and see that people are just like the cells on the surface of the planet. And for instance, we all know that our liver cells are brown in color. Our bile ducts are yellow, and if you look within your body, you can find every color cell that you can think. You find races on the planet, as it were, and if you're internally within yourself, if you have racial battles between the color of your your liver cells and your skin, the other organs in your body, you're not going to feel very healthy. But if you respect and realize that every cell in your body has a specific purpose that color for a specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like to do myself is to do what I call a kind of a smiling meditation, where I mm-hmm. visualize all the cells in my body smiling to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Shaking hands with each other, hugging each other, and loving each other.
Oh, that's
a good
one.
And just breathe that love into myself.
That's good.
And by doing that within myself, I can heal myself just through my own loving thoughts about myself, as it were. And mm-hmm. and the same on the planet. You know, we see all the people from different countries, all different skin colors, all different mm-hmm. races, all different cultures.
Right.
But yet it's that diversity that makes life so interesting. You know, if every single person was the same, you know, we all have brown eyes and black hair, for mm-hmm. instance, then you would never be able to describe what you are. It's only the infinite diversity that's out there that gives us the context by which we can appreciate and love the diversity. And so what I would like to put forward is the importance of honoring everyone's religion. Everyone's culture, everyone's race, and mm-hmm. everyone's color, and really honor that and appreciate the need for that diversity. Because only by being aware at that level of all this diversity can you know yourself and enjoy the richness of the world that we live in.
Well, that's true. Each person is an individual. We're all one. But we're like different aspects, as you said, each like in a cell in the body, each one individual cell, but working towards the whole, for the good of the whole. And when it doesn't, that's when the body becomes ill. When there is a conflict set up within the human's body itself, that's when we have dis-ease, et cetera. So I absolutely concur with you on that concept. You put it very, very well. A lot of the people that listen in are highly developed, but some are searching. And the other part, too, is I feel that with the increase in energies, and let's move to a more global concept here, if we may, because the macrocosm and the microcosm are the same. It's just a matter of size, as the saying goes. My feeling is that we have had some really wonderful group energy that has entered into this world. There's some nastiness stuff going on, but it's sort of like the body trying to fight a disease off is kind of how I'm seeing it. Do you get that impression that some of this violence that we've had is simply a corrective process that the Earth is, or mankind is trying to start a healing process, a dialogue within the human family situation, that we're trying to get rid of illness and disease through some of this behavior that's going on. Unfortunately, it's behavior that we would love to do without, i.e. the violence portion of it. But what is your take on that from your studies and thoughts?
Well, my own view is that the government tends to control and manipulate the people by the use of fear, and the best way to keep people in fear is to constantly show them them violence and things they don't really want to see, and what you tend to find is the whole news, the current news service tends to focus on negative issues, yet there's so much good happening in the world that never sees the light of day on current news channels yet. But with the internet, I mean, it's been so empowering to the people, and we're able to reclaim our own sovereignty and choose exactly what we want to view and do via the internet. Where news can travel around the world in an instant, and that's also the good news as well as the bad news that comes through your TV channels and radio channels. So the way I would choose to answer your question more fully is just to be in the now, because you tend to only be able to get into fear if you get into a different time zone, as it were. You know, fear tends to come in your life if you're looking, projecting forward, or you're looking back at something that's happened in the past. It's very rare that you experience fear in the now moment. And the same with the news. The fear that comes from over the television is something that's happening a long way away in another country. It's not happening now in your immediate reality, as it were, rather than you choosing to put yourself in that space to watch it on television. But you could just as easily choose to do something else and not allow that negativity to come into you. You could choose to create something positive in that moment instead. And by making that conscious choice to do something positive and avoid the negative, then you can immediately change your reality. And by one individual at a time, we can change the whole world. Because as soon as people move away from these methods of mass mind control, that which is the mass media, as it were, as soon as people more and more move to the internet and being very selective what they watch and spend their time doing, then the whole reality in people's lives will immediately change for the better. And also, if you avoid all these negative things, then in a way, negative things happen much less in your life as well. Because you can't help picking up that negative vibration if you're constantly watching it all the time. I mean, it gets into your system. Whereas if you choose to surround yourself with pleasant experience, with life-supporting experience, and your whole body's vibration changes, and you draw to you like energies. If you're vibrating in pleasure, then nice things tend to happen to you.
Well, I also do concur with that. My feeling also is that it's important that we accept responsibility for our own thoughts and actions, because I find a lot of people have a real issue with accepting responsibilities for what happens in their life. They'd rather still be like a kid who says, "You made me do it, you know. It's your fault if something doesn't work." They don't really want to become responsible. And I guess in a sense, though I'm just sort of thinking out loud right now with you, mind you, that they're afraid of accepting responsibility. And somehow they know that if they do accept this responsibility, then if they want to make a change, they're going to have to make the change. And this means that they will have to be responsible in a sense to themselves. And this is very scary to people.
I feel the word forgiveness is a wonderful tool, because through forgiveness you can reclaim your energy, you can reclaim your power. Quite often people will go through their life, blaming someone else.
Yes.
But through forgiveness, you can actually forgive that person and stop blaming them and take personal responsibility for your life. And when you do that, it's extremely empowering because you draw back your energy to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You then get control over your energy and where you want to flow it. As long as you're projecting out and blaming this other person, then you're actually giving them power over you.
And
disempowering yourself. So through forgiveness, both forgiving other people and also forgiving yourself if you've hurt anyone in your life as well. This process of forgiveness is just so powerful at recentering your energies in yourself and empowering yourself and taking personal responsibility. And it can be quite life transforming for yourself to do that. And it's such a simple process to do, and it can really change your whole perspective on life.
Yes, it can. But as I said, sometimes my feeling is that people are afraid of accepting responsibility for their lives, because then they'd have to actually, as I said, do something about it. And it seems so much easier and safer in the old way of doing things to try and put responsibility for your own life and what happens or doesn't happen on somebody else. And I think part of the spiritual growth we have, when you don't want to accept responsibility, I think it's because you feel powerless to do so, because you don't feel empowered. You don't feel, you don't believe, you don't know, you are not aware of your connection to all that is, and that you are part of all there is and a part of God, Himself, herself, and that So this is the thing that I think was taught for many years in cultures, that the people were not connected to God and could not therefore talk to God or Source directly and had to go through others, giving away their power. And,
indeed. Well, I would say that self within, you know, if you transcend your physical structure, and by that what I mean, God is not outside of you. God is deep within your own core energy. And the way I would choose to take you to God is to transcend your physical structure. If you go down through the organs of the body, if you go down through the cells, through the molecules, through the atoms, through the finer particles, through your light body, because beneath the finer particles, the small particles of your body keep changing constantly from physical into a waveform, you know, which is light, and then go through your light body to the underlying field that quantum physics would describe as like a vacuum, empty time and space. But that emptiness is actually full of potential energy. It's full of an eternal continuum of life. And it's that eternal continuum deep within your core energy, which I would describe as God, and which I would describe as your soul and your true self. It's that aspect of you that has stayed the same all your life. You know, since you've been born, you've gone from being a small baby to a toddler to an infant, to a teenager, to an adult, perhaps even to an old person, But the point is, every cell in your body has changed every, you know, at least every 7 years. Some change daily, some change weekly, some change monthly. But very few cells, you know, in your body survive more than 7 years. So you're not
the physical structure
of your body. There's something with, you know, very deep within yourself that's been the same all your life, and it's that it's that aspect that's never ever changed, which I would say is the God within you, which is your soul energy. Your inner being, your spiritual angel, if you like, that looks through this physical body, and I would say you're not separate from God. You never have been, and there's no way you can be, because you're every creative thought you have is God creating through you. You're the instrument that God uses to express what God wants. And what you find, my own view is that our body is a hologram of the whole universe.
Exactly.
The whole universe comes to a point, and then from that point comes out a light body of who you are, which is, if you like, your electromagnetic energy that surrounds your body, the aura of your physical body. And it's that aura that creates the force field that every molecule, every cell, every organ of your body grows into, and so you are a reflection of the whole. The whole is reflected in each one of us. But the reason why I use the term hologram is that if you take a holographic photograph of a three-dimensional image and put it into 100 pieces and shine a laser light for any one piece, each piece would see the whole, but would all see it from a different perspective. Each piece would have a slightly different perspective on looking at that three-dimensional object, and that's how human consciousness works. Our soul energy is looking through us like the laser light. Our body is the hologram, and that is creating what we see through our eyes. And we all see the same thing, but we all view it from a different perspective, and all gain different information from the whole as we look out. But we are all the whole, becoming individualized, but yet seeing the whole again when we look out on the world. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Well, of course it does. I'm in complete agreement. So far, you haven't said anything that I can't agree with. I wanted to just interject here, George, that we are interviewing George Lockett. I am Phyllis Pricer with the Higher Dimensions. George is from Wales in the United Kingdom. He is a healer, and he is a spiritual healer, I should say that. And he works at Body, Mind, and Spirit Fairs. He has a book out called Journey into the Self. that you can get on Amazon.com. He has a great deal of information. He's had a very interesting life. And the principles that he speaks about, he has espoused in his own life and applied them to make his life a better place and a better living in his world. And I just wanted to bring that again, that I'm Phyllis Price with the Higher Dimensions on BBS Radio. This show has been pre-recorded, so you can't call in. But do feel free to contact BBS Radio or George through his website directly at www.healergeorge.com. We can continue talking for a few moments, but I wanted to make sure that information got out to our audience again so that we can continue talking for a few minutes now, okay?
Okay, well, it's been an absolute pleasure to be here with you on the show, and
thank you.
And I've really, really enjoyed chatting to you today, and I hope your audience has gained some benefits from my insights. Have you got the last question for us before we finish?
Well, what is it that you would like people to remember most? What do you think is the most critical piece of information that you would give a soul? If you had only one thing you could tell somebody, what would it
be? Okay, well, I would say to get out of your head and into your heart.
Okay.
The reason why I say that is your intellect and your mental understanding of the world is not very stable. It's not a good place to be. It's much better if you can move that foot down your body into your heart energy, because it's your heart that connects you to the universal life force. It's
mm-hmm.
through your feelings. It's your feelings that connect you to the more subtle layers of your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's your feelings that connect you on a cellular level, a molecular level, an atomic level, to that inner energy field, to your light body within, to God within. It's through your feelings. Therefore, if ever you have to make a decision between what your heart is telling you to do and what your intellect is telling you to do, I would always opt for the heart energy, because that is more in tune with the universe. It's more in tune with the universal life force, and
uh-huh.
and the whole universe will support you if you honor what your heart is telling you to do. That is what I feel is the most important, is just to make that simple step from the head to the heart, and really live your life from the heart instead of from your intellect, which is very much just feeling the energies around you. I mean the whole thinking process is an electromagnetic process. You know, if you put an EEG machine on your head, you can measure the electrical activity of your brain waves. But the point being that those brain waves are influenced by what's happening in the web, or it's influenced by by lots and lots of things around you, and the space and the people you mix with, where your heart energy is much more connected to the whole universe, and it's a much more stable place to be.
Okay, that's probably a good lesson to learn and live by, and to create happiness in your life, because by living in your heart and trusting your heart, and I know it seems to be almost against the grain of what we were taught and raised. We were always told, put our emotions aside and follow your head. That's the way the world has gone for so many centuries. So I am delighted to know that you are in agreement with me that the heart is the way to go, and we should learn to trust our heart, because it brings us closer to the source of all there is. And it doesn't mean being a fool, and it does not mean being selfish and so forth. It does mean expressing yourself and listening to the God within, because that's where God lives, is in our heart and in our very beings, and acknowledging our greatness, our living our greatness with all there is. That's the most important thing. At any rate, it's been an absolute joy. I don't know if Don is with us right at the moment, but I really, really am delighted to have had you on the show. I wish you all the success, and maybe one day I'll get to England, or you'll get here, and we'll meet, okay?
Okay, well, it's been a pleasure to be here, and thank you very much for inviting me on your show.
Thank you. Have a blessed day. Thank you, and goodbye to all of you ladies and gentlemen. I'm Phyllis Pricer with the Higher Dimensions. Good night.